Are blessed now to read from God's inspired word. We'll be reading from Psalm 126, if you care to turn to it. I'm sorry, I don't know what it is in your pew Bibles. Thank you, 967. I know different churches have different traditions. I was wondering if we could stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. This is the word of God. You may be seated. A quick prayer before we begin. Lord God, the shepherds in Bethlehem left the baby Jesus praising you. All that they had been told had been true. Move in us as well, that we may hear and experience the wonder and the joy of your living word on this morning. And may we welcome these words in Jesus' name, amen. My husband and I celebrated one of those milestone birthdays this summer. You know the one. The one that gives you that vantage point to reflect on your life and where it has already come from. And the vantage point to kind of see your trajectory and where you're headed. It's very human of us to do this, so I'm confident that you've had occasions to do that as well. And in fact, today, at the very end of this year, we are all standing at a vantage point where we can look back on this expiring 2019 year. And we take stock in what the last 12 months have been and maybe what they have not been. And we pause and we reflect. What has your 2019 been like? Has it been filled with more joys or more sorrows? Are you experiencing more wholeness or separateness in your own heart, mind, and soul? What has transpired in your relationships with friends and family? Wholeness or separateness? And I understand that your congregation has lost a pastor this year. This undoubtedly causes you to pause and reflect, as I heard in your time of prayer, on where this church has been and where you are going. What defines you as a congregation? Wholeness or separateness? After you look back then, what is your perspective on looking forward to 2020? And this is also where we are at in this psalm this morning. This song, Psalm 126, is a song of looking back, seeing God's providence in the past, and letting his past providence give hope in a song of anticipation and expectation for the future. The first three verses are acknowledging and remembering the realized goodness of God's actions in the nation of Israel's history, even though it is so often filled with grief. Verses 4 through 6 then contain the anticipation and the expectation of goodness to come despite being in some depths of sorrow. The first three verses allude to the miraculous way in which God delivered a remnant of Israel out of their captivity. They didn't see their release even coming when God worked in the politics of Cyrus and the Persian nation. The Persians, see, had conquered the Babylonians, and the Babylonians were Israel's original captors. So what hope did they have for being remembered now? They were buried under the political oppression of yet another pagan nation. But God was at work. And he orchestrated from a seemingly terminal situation their release. Verse 1, then when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. You see, they couldn't scarcely believe. They didn't see it coming, their release. And not only were they released, they were sent back with resources to rebuild their city and their temple, the city wall. Verse 2, out of our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Of course, their natural response to such action on God's part was joy. Passage back to their homeland was secured, plus even more. Even other nations recognized that God was at work in their history. And then in verse 3, they give their own testimony of God's providence and faithfulness by saying, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Realized goodness amid the reality of some serious bondage. It's 20-20 hindsight, recognizing how God's faithful hand had brought it about. And the joy that God's providence continues to bring them. And then in the last three verses, there's a request for God's continued faithful providence with an expectation of God's goodness. In some way, they didn't know how, but in some way, they were confident that God would act. You see, despite the passage that had been miraculously provided, not everyone went back. Some stayed in Babylon. The remnant that left had left friends and family, co-workers and neighbors. The community that had sustained them socially, emotionally, and spiritually was now separated from each other. It seems that some Israelites were content to be in this state of separateness, content to be a nation broken apart. And so God is being asked to somehow restore them to the wholeness of a nation again. And when they made this petition, they were standing at this vantage point where they could look back and they could clearly see God's hand in their deliverance. And they were confident that God would work again in their future. Full restoration of their nation was not yet to come. But they longed for God to act in a miraculous way again, faithfully believing that he would. Separateness is still a characteristic in our world, is it not? And probably the most painful experiences of separateness are when it strikes in our own families and our own communities. Physical separateness can occur when families or community have moved away from us. This separateness causes heartache. We can watch those videos online, perhaps you've seen them. Those emotion-provoking videos of online reconciliation of young children with their parents who have been long deployed. Their heartache erupts in tears of joy when they see their parents for the first time. And we are left grasping for the tissues to wipe away our tears. I even saw a video of a dog who, when he was reunited with his long-deployed owner, he fainted straight away. And we see this emotion in the letters that are written to home by J. Gresham Machen. He expresses his emotion during his separation from his family during World War I. He was a spiritual leader who wrote 100 years ago in 1919, "My, I wish I could hear from home. I feel terribly anxious and eager for news. Love, my dearest mother, and more love to you and to all. I hope to see you before long. Pray, God, I have some good news soon." And he also wrote this, "Your letters are, if anything, even finer and longer than usual, but my heart aches when I hear of all the manifold trouble and suffering that you have been passing through." Separation leads to anxiety and fear and heartache. Separation from loved ones is not the design for which we've been created. We have been created for community, for unity. And besides physical separation, we also endure emotional separation in this life. If we honestly shared what we see from our vantage points looking back in the history of our lives, I'm guessing there are stories of celebrations in all of our separations in all of our lives. Broken relationships with our children, our grandchildren, marital separations and divorce, separations in mind and body due to sickness and death. People of God, we know separation. We know tears and weeping that comes with it. That pain is caused by sin in this world. And sadly, it can be the sin in our own hearts that contributes to the separateness, because we are unwilling to do the hard work of trekking back to reconciliation. And it can be the sin in the hearts of others that leaves us unreconciled and lonely without loved ones. In a world that's thoroughly tainted with the sin that separates, we can feel like we are in a desert. Our souls are dry and withered from loneliness or hardness. We are in desperate need of a stream that will not only nourish our hearts, but flourish our lives. Is that even possible? Well, the remnant in Israel was confident that it was. Israel's community in Jerusalem was separated by distance from their loved ones in Babylon. God had brought some home, And they knew he could bring the rest home too. They just didn't know how God would do that. Verse 4, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. You see, they were asking God to bring them home like a stream in the Negev, which was a desert to the south. There are no streams in a desert. Streams will only appear in the desert when God sends his life-giving rains. God had worked once before like a dream, when he miraculously provided passage back to Jerusalem. Their desire, their confidence, was that God to intervene for them again, restoring them back to a nation. Verse 5 and 6 acknowledges the current misery of their separateness. They are sowing with tears. They are going out with weeping. But they also live in hope-filled anticipation of the joy of reconciliation to come. They currently have tears and weeping, but they are confident that they will have songs of joy in the future. You see, from their vantage point, they have biblical hope because they know firsthand the providence and the faithfulness of their God. They can look then forward, trusting that the not yet will become. Their experiences of God's provision for them in the past gives them confidence of an outcome for the future that will bring joy. God will transform the desert rains into life-restoring streams. The water of their tears will be transformed to flourishing of life, reaping of goodness, and songs of joy. For the people of God these thousands of years ago, the answer to this prayer, this stream in the Negev, was, however, not a mass migration of Hebrew people back to Jerusalem, and then a subsequent restoration of the nation of Israel as they had envisioned. The first restoration of Israel was this unexpected decree of Cyrus of Persia. But the second restoration finally came after God had been silent for quite some time, those intertestament years. The restoration, the reconciliation came in the long-expected Jesus, whose birth we just had the privilege of celebrating. That birth, however, was unexpected also. The restoration that he brought was not just reconciliation of the people of Israel. It was the reconciliation of all people, his church and his creation, from a state of being separated from God to being made right with him through Jesus Christ. And there are vast benefits from this reconciliation that we have even now in this life. Hope, joy, peace, love. Those familiar words that we celebrated during the Advent season. And so for us, on December 29, we stand at a vantage point of looking back at the past year and looking forward to the next. We can see painful separation in each of our lives, and we acknowledge its presence. And while we may currently be experiencing sorrow because of it, we ask and we expect confidently that God will restore our fortunes, because he is ever faithful in his providence for us. However, we may not in this life receive reconciliation the way that we desire it most, just like the nation of Israel. which never realized that unity of a nation and the rise of a great nation again. But God's faithfulness in our lives throughout the past gives us hope of continued providence and belief that joy is what God wants for us. And Jesus Christ gives us the faith to believe those truths. Will you be expecting what you have always experienced this year? Or will you expect the unexpected, allowing for a fresh dose of God's goodness to wash over you like a stream in the Negev? God's creative providence and certain faithfulness provides a beautiful, promising vantage point from which we look forward. For you personally, in your families, and in your church, what milestones and expectations are on the horizon for the upcoming year? Whether you celebrate goodness or you are asked to weep over continued unreconciled separateness, Christ gives you faith to sing songs of joy. This because of his continued providence in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are a good, good Father, because you want us back in your fold. Jesus, you showed us the way to live and to love ourselves and to love others. Holy Spirit, you walk with us even now, prompting us to turn toward you. We plead of you never to stop working in our lives. Never stop the reconciling work in our lives so that we are empowered to reconcile with those around us. And as we look forward to this next year, we pray for your continued creative providence in our lives and in our church and in our community. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.